Greetings to the set apart children of Jacob, the guarded and preserved remnant of the lovingly committed sons and daughters of El Shaddai. This is part 6 of all the verses on saved. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Saved is found in the Word Studies menu. We have gone through the Old Testament and made it through the Gospels, and have found no teaching that one can declare themselves saved, or that when you accept Jesus, you are guaranteed for heaven and there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. So essentially, what those who believe what is not in Scripture don't believe what is in Scripture. There are plenty of verses in the Old and New Testaments that clearly teach that we can fall from grace, stray from the way, and even be blotted out. If these people want to believe these false doctrines, Jewish fables, and flat-out delusions of false hope, then that's on them. But don't call your faith Christianity. Call it something else, because that's what it is. Christianity is not a club or a hobby, and it is certainly not at all what comes out of the churches, which are nothing but brainwashing factories full of the walking dead. Let's continue and see if Acts and Paul's epistles teach any of the lies which have led millions of our people into the ditch. After the healing of a man lame since the womb, Acts 4:7, and when the Edomite Jew priests had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Peter is addressing the Jew priests and the Israelite elders of Israel. Verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, or healed, be it known unto you all, Jew priests, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yeshua Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Elohim raised from the dead, and by him does this man stand here before you whole. Whole means healed, the same Greek word as saved, sozo. So Peter was having a very powerful sermon, healing the lame man, etc., and the Edomite rulers were getting jealous. Now Peter is addressing two groups. Group 1, the Jew rulers, and those deceived Israelites following the rulers, and group 2, the Israelites who kept the true faith. Verse 11, "This is the stone," meaning Christ, "which has set at naught," or "being scorned by you builders, who has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation," or deliverance, "in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, or by which it is necessary for us to be preserved." These verses are not saying that you can simply call on him and be saved. Calling on him is about trusting him to watch over you, guard you, deliver you from sickness and calamity, and to preserve your life. No matter what you declare or say, he is not going to give you the keys to your mansion in the sky before you die. Being saved is only being preserved in this mortal life, and only if you are worth preserving. If you do not live according to the way, and you rely on false doctrine and Jaime Jesus, then you will not see the kingdom. The Edomite Sadducees were accusing the apostles of the doctrine of Christ. This alone proves that the Sadducees and Pharisees were not teaching the doctrine of Christ. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey Elohim rather than men. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has Elohim exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior," or deliverer, rescuer, preserver, "for to give repentance," which is a change of mind or compunction, "to Israel, and forgiveness of the penalty of sins," Peter states who the Savior is for. To Israel. Not the church, not Jews, not anybody else. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also this Holy Spirit, whom Elohim has given to them that obey him. How can those who have gotten saved be saved if they don't obey the laws they say were done away with, which were not? Sounds like blasphemy. Sins comes from G266, hamartia, and means to miss the mark, err, wander from the path of uprightness, to wander from the law, even a violation of the divine law in thought or in act. Saved people are not hamartia-proof. Acts 7:25. For Moses supposed his brethren would have understood how that Elohim by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Yahweh delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They weren't saved, and they still practiced their pagan habits and were destroyed for it. Only Joshua and Caleb, out of the original group that exited Egypt, entered the Promised Land. G4991 is soteria, a noun, and means deliverance, preservation from enemies. Stephen speaking, Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law as it was ordained by messengers, and have not kept, or guarded, or preserved it. They didn't observe or preserve the law. They were fooled by the deceit of the Jewish religious leaders, and stoned Stephen for telling them the truth. Just like today's Judeo and denominational so-called Christians that have fell for the same Jewish lies and hate the watchmen that try to get them to see that they believe lies and worship a Jewish Jesus and support devils. Chapter 10 is Peter's vision, which is not about being able to eat pork. It's about the dispersed Israelite men, the uncircumcised pagan Israelites that forgot their law, their heritage, and their God. That Yahweh was teaching Peter that the uncircumcised were kinsmen and under the same covenant, promises, and reconciliation as the circumcised. The churches use this chapter to teach you to eat pork. Here in chapter 11 is Peter's report about his message from Yahweh regarding the uncircumcised. He witnessed the Holy Spirit immersing them. Acts 11:12. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen a messenger in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell you words whereby you and all your house shall be saved, or made whole, preserved. They didn't get rapture tickets and become saved like the churches teach. They were brought the message of their heritage, the truth of the promises and covenants, and that with the true knowledge of who they were and whose they were, and if they repented, they would be preserved by their trust in Christ and kept safe if they continue in the way. Verse 15, And as I, Peter, began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the prince, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Two separate baptisms, one by John, a Levitical priest, with water, to cleanse the priesthood and the Lamb of Elohim. The other, with the knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit, immersed in truth, becoming a dwelling place for the Spirit. Truth and the Holy Spirit does not dwell in ignorance nor in a sinner. Knowledge and understanding preserves. The men from Caesarea were Israelites of the house of Israel, northern 10 tribes, and understood that they too were under the better covenant. Verse 17. For as much then as Elohim gave to them, meaning the uncircumcised, the house of Israel dispersed among the nations, the like gift, which is the divine gratuity, as he did unto us, the circumcised of the house of Judah in Jerusalem, who believed on the Prince Yeshua Christ, what was I that I could withstand Elohim? The Judeans were now starting to understand that both the houses of Judah and of Israel were Israelites, brethren, kinsmen. Both houses were reconciled under the new, or the better, covenant. The new covenant is not with the church. It's still with the children of Jacob, both houses. The only difference in the better covenant is the old covenant priesthood and sacrificial rituals expired. That's what was done away with, because Christ fulfilled them and is now our high priest. Acts 13:23. Of this man's seed, speaking of David, has Elohim, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver, Yeshua, according to the flesh of Jacob Israel from Abraham back to Adam. Jesus is not a chameleon and changes to black for the Negroes, yellow for the Chinese, and brown for the Mexicans, or Jewish, like the churches teach. Verse 24. When John had first preached, before Christ's coming, the baptism of repentance, or a change of mind, or compunction, to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think you that I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth Elohim, to you is the word of this salvation sent, or deliverance sent. In the King James, you see the word and in between brethren and the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you. They don't exist in the original manuscripts. They were added by the translators to separate into groups. But the context of Scripture is always the children of Israel. Those three groups, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you, is all one family. The word of preservation and deliverance are sent to only this family. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, Elohim has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Yeshua again, as it is also written in the second psalm, You are my son, this day I have begotten you. Be it known unto you, therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. The sacrificial offerings and rituals cannot save or preserve. That's why they were done away with. They were a teaching lesson until Christ fulfilled them. Now we must go through Christ instead of a priest or some ritual. Acts 13:47. For so has the Master commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the dispersed nations of Israel, that you should be for salvation, or deliverance, unto the ends of the land. This was a prophecy in Isaiah 49:6, back in the Old Testament, talking about the future children of Jacob, not the church. Isaiah. And he said, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations of Israel, that you mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. This is a prophecy of Yeshua, but it also is a reference to our people who bring his light to our lost kinsmen. The apostles, disciples, and true followers are the light to our dispersed kinsmen who have forgotten or strayed from the way. The gospel message and return to Yahweh is for our mortal preservation. The nations of the dispersed of Israel that were scattered after the Exodus and during the Babylonian and Assyrian captivities and lost their heritage, they needed to be reminded of who they were and whose they were. With this knowledge, they were preserved. We are not the deliverer, but when we deliver the truth and our people respond and take hold of it and continue in it, then they will be preserved. Acts 14:7. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who has never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had belief to be healed, or made whole, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked. It comes from the same word as saved, sozo. Saved means healed, which means preserved, made whole by true belief. Acts 15:1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, or made whole, or delivered." These certain men were the Judaizers, spreading their religion of apostasy. Being circumcised does not guarantee you for salvation. One who is circumcised is not automatically saved either. Verse 6, And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men, brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim had made choice among us, that the dispersed nations of the house of Israel by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Elohim, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by the belief." The us and them are the Judeans of the house of Judah in Jerusalem, and the Greeks, who were of the dispersed tribes of the house of Israel. These were of the tribes that did not return after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, and they forgot and lost their heritage and laws. Verse 10, Now therefore, why tempt you Elohim to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? The reference takes us to Matthew 23:2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat," meaning the religious seat of authority in Judea. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, observe and do, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be carried, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." The Jewish scribes and Pharisees that infiltrated the laws of Moses and the Levitical priesthood were hypocrites. Verse 11, But we believe that through the grace, which is the divine influence, of the Master Yeshua Christ, we shall be saved, or preserved, even as they, speaking of the forefathers. Remember, this study in the Old Testament, all about mortal preservation through obedience and allegiance. The fathers were not saved the way the churches teach. The original group of the Exodus was destroyed in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. Many of the fathers were destroyed in the wars of the Kings and Chronicles, and throughout Scripture, our disobedient and rebelling fathers were destroyed. But the ones that followed Yahweh were blessed and preserved. Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, or a demon, met us, which brought her masters much gain by uttering spells. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High Elohim, which show unto us the way of salvation, or deliverance. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the demon, I command you in the name of Yeshua Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Paul, in Philippi, casts out a demon out of a slave. The slave's owners, who were making money off her demonic powers, have the apostles and Silas beaten and thrown in prison. They are only set free when a miraculous earthquake occurs and loosens their bonds. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved, or preserved, or made whole? And they said, Believe on, which means commit to, the Prince Yeshua Christ, and you shall be saved, or preserved, and your house. And they spake unto him the word of the Master, and to all that were in his house. So they didn't just believe. They educated them in the word, and what was expected of followers. And by following comes preservation. Acts 21:23. Do therefore this that we say to you. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify yourself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things, whereof they were informed concerning you, are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly, and keep, or guard, or preserve, the law. As concerning the dispersed nations of Israel, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, except only that they keep, or preserve, or guard themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from race mixing. Keeping the law and guarding from idols and pagan practices will preserve you. Attending church is a pagan practice. Worshipping Jewish Jesus is a pagan practice. The building itself is a pagan temple with a sun pillar on top with the cross of Tammuz. The doctrine they teach is from the pit of hell. Acts 22:20. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I, Paul, also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept, or took care of, the raiment of them that slew him. Paul held the clothes of those stoning Stephen. Paul, as a Pharisee, believed their counterfeit doctrine, thinking he did God's work. If he continued as a Pharisee, he would have died in his sins. This is no different than those who accept church doctrine and think that they are doing God's work. Acts 23:23. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 80, 70, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80 provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe, or out of danger, unto Felix the governor. Safe means preserved. G1295 is diasodzo, and means to preserve from danger, to bring safely through. Verse 34, and when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and he understood that he was of Cilicia. I will hear you, said he, when your accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept, or guarded, in Herod's judgment hall. Paul was heard on trial because he was a Roman citizen. Jews were not permitted to be Roman citizens. Paul was not a Jew, nor was Christ, nor were the children of Israel, nor Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Noah, or Adam. The Bible is not a Jewish book. Paul, along with several other prisoners, board a boat bound for Rome. The ship runs into bad weather, Acts 27:20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved, or rescued, was taken away. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved, or saved from danger, delivered from the storm. It's the same word as the church is using, saved, everywhere else. It obviously does not mean saved here, the way they want it to mean. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some food, for this is for your health, or preservation. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Health is from the word salvation. Health means preservation. Verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder parts were broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. The soldiers would be in less trouble if the prisoners died or were killed. Verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save, or to save out of danger, Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe, or out of danger, to land. They weren't saved. They were delivered from the sinking ship, preserved. Diasodzo, preserved through danger. Soteria, preservation and safety. Sodzo, rescued, kept safe from danger, preserved. They all mean mortal preservation. All, from the same words used by the churches that says saved in English, but only mean mortal preservation. But the churches change the meanings to suit their own agendas, as if they can make these words mean saved the way they want. Acts 28:1. And when they were escaped, or arrived safely to shore, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and a barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. The Greeks called anyone who did not speak Greek barbarians. Verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped, or saved out of danger, the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Escaped is a form of preservation. He also was not harmed by the snake. Acts 28:16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him, or guarded, or cared of him. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the laws of Moshe and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's from Isaiah 6:9-10. Israelites are a stiff-necked people. Try bringing these truths and apostasies to the attention of today's churches. They don't want to hear it. They're comfortable in their own pew. They have learned so much false doctrine, they don't know who they are or anything about the way. Just believe is their motto. I'm saved is their trust. Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation, or deliverance, or preservation, of Elohim is sent unto the dispersed nations of Israel, and that they will hear it. The Gentiles are not non-Israelites, as the churches teach. Gentile is a Latin word, and only means a nation, or race of people. Non-Israelite is an added definition, and added to deceive. Gentiles, meaning nations, can refer to other nations, or the nations of the tribes of Israel, depending on the context. Here, and in most places, it refers to the Israelites that either left Egypt before the Exodus, or that did not return to Jerusalem after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, and went on to settle other lands, forgetting their heritage. It was these lost and scattered and dispersed Israelites that Paul was chosen to educate and bring the gospel to. In Acts, we have seen that those with the true knowledge and understanding and obedience that call upon Yeshua will be preserved, made whole. That we are preserved if we discern from false doctrine and wolves in sheep's clothing. That when we bring the gospel to our kinsmen, they will be preserved and made whole. That there is no preserver of life besides Yeshua. That being saved means guarding the Torah, believing the truth, and living it. That the word of salvation is exclusively to the children of the stock of Abraham. That by our bringing the truth to our people, they are preserved by it, if they continue in it. That true belief brings preservation. That only by divine influence are you preserved. That unless you are properly educated and follow the way, you will not be preserved. That the churches erroneously change the meanings of the words to suit their agenda of believing that they can claim that they are saved, when it's not up to them. It's up to Yahweh. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation, or deliverance, or preservation, to everyone that trusts, to the Judean first, and also to the Greek. The Judeans were Israelites of the house of Judah, the circumcision. They had and knew the laws, prophecies, and their heritage. Many of the Greeks were Israelites of the house of Israel, the uncircumcision. The house of Israel were the ones that forgot their heritage. Preservation is for those of both houses and that believe and follow his ways. Romans 2:25. For circumcision verily profiteth, if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. You can't just go through the motion of the law or sitting in a church. Verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, referring to the Greeks, the dispersed Israelites, keep or watch over the righteousness of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you? Speaking of the circumcision, the house of Judah, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? One who follows the law by nature shall judge those who have the law and transgress. Verse 28. For he is not a Judean, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Judean, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Elohim. Verses 16 through 27 are about hypocrisy. The circumcised Judeans, who had and practiced the Torah, were no better than the uncircumcised dispersed Israelites who did not have the Torah, but practiced the law naturally, the law on their hearts. Paul has been contrasting the Judeans who kept the letter of the law while making sacrifices for atonement and then hypocritically returning to sin, and comparing them with the dispersed who did not have the law, but knew the difference between right and wrong in their hearts. Very much like today's churches, they would be the uncircumcision because they don't know their heritage, their true identity. They believe in a Jewish Jesus and Judeo-Christianity. They reject the law and appointed feast days and the food laws. They may be good people, but they believe in and support lies. All of the tribes of Israel are to observe the law, following the way, and they will be preserved. Romans 5:8. But Elohim commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, or preserved, from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, meaning odious, actively hostile, pagan, we were reconciled to Elohim by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved, or preserved, by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in Elohim through our Master Yeshua Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement should be reconciliation. Atonement is something we bring for breaking the law. Christ did not break any law. He reconciled us by propitiation, the act of appeasing, in our case, eternal death, something we deserve. By living according to the faith, or the belief, of Christ, the same belief he had to the Father in his mortal body, we will be preserved. Only Christ had the belief, or the faith, or the allegiance. He performed the duty perfectly, hence his preservation up to his appointed death, and his reward for perfectly following his duty. The model was shown for us. We won't be perfect, but it's the effort he is looking for. Just believing and claiming you're saved shows no effort. Romans 8:24. For we are saved, or restored, by hope, which is expectation. But by expectation that is seen is not expectation, for what a man sees, why does he yet expect? Is Paul saying we are saved just by hoping? Certainly not. Let's examine the word hope. Hope is G1680, elpis, meaning to anticipate, expectation, or confidence. Would you expect a reward without doing anything for it? Of course not. The expectation would be the reward from following the way, from obedience, for having allegiance or faith, which is loyalty to the faith of Christ. Romans 9:27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, or preserved. For he will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yahweh make upon the earth. If everybody is saved, how is there going to be only a remnant left? Perhaps all those that think they are saved are numbered as the sand of the sea, and the ones that understand that there is no such thing as being saved are the remnant. The humble are preserved, not the arrogant that declare, "I'm saved," like it's up to them. If you are drowning in the sea, do you get to choose to be saved? A remnant will be preserved. Throughout the scriptures, only the righteous and obedient remnant were the ones preserved. So many churches and denominations, all declaring their own salvation according to their own doctrines, doesn't sound like a remnant. It sounds like a majority are deceived in believing in Jewish fables. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved, or preserved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. Verses 1 through 3 are describing the churches today, with them all declaring, "I'm saved," their own righteousness, and not according to knowledge. Verse 4, "But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." The Greek is more clear. Verse 4, "Indeed, Christ is the fulfillment of the law for justice to each one that is trusting." Matthew 5:17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." It doesn't mean he did away with it. It means he fulfilled it. He followed it. He obeyed. He set the example. We're to do the same. Verse 5, "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth or practices those things shall live by them." Leviticus 18:5, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh." The law was not done away with. The Levitical priesthood and ordinances and sacrifices were done away with, fulfilled by Christ's sacrifice. Following the law is loving him, and he preserves you for it. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Notice Paul addresses Israelites, his brethren, and that they might be preserved. And he also understands that the people that do not have true knowledge and understanding are ignorant, hence being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 9, that if you shall confess, or agree, with your mouth the Prince Yeshua, and shall believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or preserved, delivered. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or deliverance. The Greek reads, verse 10, with the heart one believes in justice, and with the mouth one agrees in deliverance. Salvation through repentance and continued righteousness, which is walking in Christ's example. Confession is acknowledgement, a covenant, a promise. It's not just a belief. Our fathers made a covenant with Yahweh to obey and walk in His ways, and by doing so they were preserved. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Judean and the Greek, for the same Master over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Master shall be saved, or preserved. Just reading these verses alone, the unlearned would think all they have to do is just believe and repeat the magic words. Believing and calling on Him is not enough. We must stand for Him and His ways as well. That means not tolerating the unrighteousness in our society. The churches teach tolerance. They teach to love the enemy. Don't offend them. They allow gays in church and marry them. They allow interracial couples in church. Our society has not been Christian for close to 100 years now. We don't confess Him anymore. We've become politically correct. You can believe in Him, but not stand for Him. This is not good enough. If you believe in Him and stand for Him, you will be chastised in this society, but you will be preserved. In verse 9, that if you shall agree with your mouth the Prince Yeshua, does not prove that saying I believe, or I'm saved, or I confess, gets you anything, because you can't honor Him with just your lips. Isaiah 29:13, wherefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6, he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you, you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 15, and how shall they proclaim, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So then, the belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Paul is referring to the dispersed 10 tribes. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, Has Elohim cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul knows his heritage. Paul states the fact of DNA. Benjamin is Jacob's youngest. By the way, all the apostles were Benjaminites, except Judas, the Edomite Jew. Verse 2. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scriptures say of Elijah? How he makes intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets and digged down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Paul mirrors Elijah. Elijah was a prophet sent to the 10 northern tribes of Israel, as was Paul. Verse 4. But what says the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Baal is where we get the word, or rather title, Lord. Yahweh always keeps a remnant to be his watchman, to preserve Israel. Verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the choice of grace, or divine influence. Only a remnant keeps the word, even today. None of the 33,000 denominations keeps his word. They've changed it. Verse 6. And if by favor, then it is no more of works, meaning rituals. Otherwise, favor is no more favor. But if it be of works, or rituals, then it is no more favor. Otherwise, favor is no more favor. If we receive favor by performing rituals, or claiming we're saved, then what good is favor if all we have to do is a ritual, or claim we're saved? Yahweh wants obedience and righteousness, not empty rituals, and not empty declarations that mean nothing. Verse 7. What, then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the chosen has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Yahweh chooses who sees and who doesn't. Verse 8. According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Isaiah 29:10. For Yahweh has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. When we reject knowledge and reject truth, and reject Yahweh, he rejects us. When we believe lies and don't study, he leaves us to our delusions. Why don't today's churches know anything about scripture, history, heritage, etc.? Because Yahweh has made this test of life hard. If you are blind, ask and you shall receive. He's not going to choose a person who just goes through the motion. It's time to wake up. The scriptures are encoded, and unless you are living righteously, the Holy Spirit will not abide in you and help you decode the message to understand it. Verse 9. And David said, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Psalm 69:23. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. When we do not live righteously, then we are an offense. We fall. Yahweh's plan of salvation is our path back to health, back to obedience, and back to him. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled or erred that they should fall or be condemned? God forbid, but rather, through their fall or offense, salvation or deliverance is come to the dispersed nations of Israel, for to provoke them to jealousy, or to follow them. Paul is saying for the Judeans who had the law not to be jealous of the dispersed nations who did not have the law, but they are Israelites as well and receive the same favor. Kinda sounds like the parable of the workers who showed up at different hours of the day. The early arrivals were upset that the late arrivals were rewarded with the same. When we come to the truth, accept it, and live it, we all get a penny. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the society, and the diminishing of their defeat the riches of the dispersed nations, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, dispersed nations, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the dispersed nations of Israel, I honor my office. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy them that are my kinsmen, and might save, or preserve, rescue, make whole some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the society, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? There is a resurrection for cast off Israel, the dispersed 10 amnesiac nations of Israel, as well. Paul hoped to provoke his brethren into receiving the gospel in order that they might hear and understand the truth of their heritage and therefore be preserved. Paul himself can't save them. Churches can't save anyone. Nobody can be saved. Only through following the way, the heritage, and Elohim of our race can we be preserved. Only through the truth can we be delivered.